next to the article in the Los Angeles Times, the one on the salesman whose business is death, the arrest of Frank Turple and George Coachella, there's another article right on the same page. Terrorist murder Sicilian official in Palermo, Italy. Gunman yesterday ambushed and shot to death the president of the Sicilian Regional Council and wounded his wife before the eyes of their two teenage children. The first terrorist assassination in Italy. Mr. Sandy Mattarella, 44, a close ally of Aldo Moro, the former premier and Christian Democratic Party president, who was kidnapped and killed by Red Brigade's gunman in 1978, which I said was a murder on the right and not the left. Aldo Moro wanted the Vatican to be taxed for their various businesses. He didn't think that all their holdings should be tax-free. He was a foe of the financial dealings of the various Vatican officials, and we know what trouble they're in financially with their links to organized crime, narcotics, and death of witnesses recently since Mr. Sindona's arrest in New York City, who's linked to the Vatican banks. Well, this man and his wife were murdered this week, and after the killings, they got several telephone calls. One said that they were gunmen from the members of the Red Brigade. Another call that gave credit for murdering Mr. Mattarella was an ultra-rightist group known as the Revolutionary Fascist Squad. And, of course, I would bet that it was that group that, again, did away with the friend of Aldo Moro. And I wouldn't know yet, it's too soon to know, if this Sicilian regional council member wasn't linked to the investigation of the Vatican money in the United States links that I've done tapes on that you can get. There are a lot of deaths going on in Sicily right now that are linked to the finances of the Vatican. And so a prominent the president of the regional council there and his wife were murdered just this week. The attorney for Frank Turple of the CIA from this international major international gunrunners operation linked to the intelligence community and the State Department with permission for their assassination weapons. His name is James LaRosa. And he's representing him. He's a criminal defense lawyer in New York City who acknowledged that his client was a former agent of the CIA engaged in gun arms sales throughout the world. The name LaRosa was interesting because there was a LaRosa involved, a Chappaquiddick, and I haven't had time yet to look up that Mr. LaRosa that was a friend of Ted Kennedy's. Also, I mentioned last week that Mr. Turple not only bragged about training Carlos, the revolutionary, this week, that came out in the newspapers, but said that they had planned and executed the killing of the Israeli athletes in 1972 at the Olympic Games in Munich, that they took pleasure in killing those athletes at that time. The name LaRosa came out in the news, another article this week, the same lawyer for Turple of the CIA, and usually when a man has been in the CIA and involved in all these operations, the attorney has to be from the CIA because of national security reasons. Well, the New York Times had a long article. U.S. jury is investigating Mr. Mead H. Esposito and his racetrack ties. And this is a prominent Brooklyn Democrat who's been linked several times to possible organized crime. And the attorney for Mr. Mead Esposito is the same James LaRosa, who's the attorney for Frank Turple of the CIA. Of course, it's nice to have a Brooklyn Democratic boss whose attorney is working with Turple, who also works with Libya and Gaddafi and Billy Carter and Fesco, and that can of worms. The article in the New York Times goes on to describe Mr. Esposito's operations. It says that he was engaged in negotiations for an $18 million mortgage for a hospital in New Jersey, a building in Manhattan, various restaurants and homes operated by a Catholic order that takes care of the destitute and aged. Of course, that opens up a can of worms of Catholic corruption in New York front and dummy fronts with organized crime that I've done tapes of Rosalind Carter and her visits with members of organized crime in Washington, D.C., and then in New York City, the dummy fronts of crime and the Catholic Church linked together. So Mr. Esposito, not guilt by association, but this article has him involved with the Catholic order. He has interest in Holiday Inn motels in New Jersey. And, of course, one of these defendants, Corcala, again, maybe coincidence, but the electric company from New Jersey that works with ExxonMobil and Scotland Yard must be a large company. And He has Holiday Inns in New Jersey, and this article says that he also has enterprises in Miami and offices in Los Angeles with a group called American International Group, a $2.5 billion New York-based holding company with a wide variety of insurance operations. Now, the part that's interesting in the New York Times article is it said the Los Angeles venture was handled by Richard H. Hanna, a former United States Representative of California, a paid director of mortgage affiliates, on a motion by Mr. Esposito, according to minutes of the company in 1946. Now, Mr. Hanna was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for accepting $200,000 from Tongsun Park in the South Korean scandal of Koreagate influence in buying members of Congress. So just briefly, and I can't go into all the details because I want to do some more about Mr. Turple and Corcola, I want to bring out this can of worms of a racetrack scandal, the Catholic Church, New Jersey, Los Angeles, Miami, a $2.5 billion New York operation, and the South Korean, again, the Korean scandal, the buying of Congress, and the links of organized crime, the central intelligence agents, the common lawyers, the network spread across the country, because, as I've said before, the removing of the Shah of Iran and the replacement of Khomeini and the increase of the growing of the opium poppy and the traffic in the Middle East, the handling of organized crime and narcotics traffic and the narcotics war is overlooked by the major media. I can't pretend in an hour a week to give you an adequate cover of all the tentacles or threads or their links to Nazi, RIDA, CIA money, but there's this common location of offices and interests and buying of Congress and links to Jimmy Carter and the presidency and Rockefeller and the New Jersey locations that you have to do a little homework on your own and read some of these articles, but they are all coming out at the same time. There's another article on terrorism in the Los Angeles Times, January the 4th. Terrorist groups in Italy linked to similar bands in the United States and Europe. And it goes into the kidnapping and killing of Prime Minister Aldo Moro in Italy. And it's linked to terrorist groups in the United States, West Germany, Ireland, and Spain. But they haven't yet admitted that the very people involved were right-wing, government-connected, CIA, military, Defense Department-connected, disguised as the left, what I call the international mini Reichstags, which are taking place to make the left suffer, that actually come from the right. There was a picture in the Washington Post in an article by John Vinokur, Terror Almost Commonplace. This was just January the 2nd, 1980, from Bonn, Germany, and it talks about terrorism in different countries and how the kidnappings of various personages like Sean Holly in Guatemala and how three terrorists were released. But there's a photograph of the masked Arab terrorists on the balcony of the Israeli quarters at Munich Olympic Games with a big square in 1972. But while the article is coming out telling you the dangers of terrorism, it does not make connections with the men that were arrested December 24th in New York City and pinpoint where the terror is coming out. This article does say, however, about the killing of the 11 Israeli athletes and the four terrorists and two policemen who were killed. There were 17 people killed in that ambush. It does say it is considerably less remembered that Abu Daoud, D-A-O-U-D, the reputed leader of the Munich attack, was arrested in France in 1976. This is a man linked with Turple and his organization, that he was arrested in France. But the prospect of a terrorist reprisal for fear of displeasing the Arab oil producers was so great that neither France nor Germany jumped on the chance to try him. In a day or so, he was flown out of France, a free man, with a first-class ticket to Algeria. So the man that was put up to represent the intelligence military community that did spread this terrorism to the Olympic Games was released because the Middle East countries didn't want to be displeased. He had done his job well. He had killed the Jewish athletes, and he was allowed by the police in France to leave the country at the request of the Middle East. And it's those countries that Mr. Turple and his buddy Carcola are supplying the weapons with, as I say, $10 million a year. And so they don't want any harassment, and the person who is sent to do the shooting or is responsible for setting it up he's allowed to go off and fly out to Algeria in order to please the Middle East, which is part of the Bormann Brotherhood and the Grand Mufti and the Hitler Organization in the beginning. And they wiped out no other athletes, just 11 Jewish athletes. There was a lot of fuss about the Olympic Games, and there's another article, an arrest or a probe, several days after these men were arrested in New York City, Kirkella and Turpel, 3 days later, December 27th. This is the Washington Post. This wasn't in the New York Times. This is a Washington Post article. It said, U.S. probes affirm here and in New York, in Washington, D.C., that Washington, D.C. police seized $100,000, an item that was used for surveillance. The U.S. Attorney's Office is investigating one of the nation's largest electronic surveillance firms, a New York firm based called CCS Incorporated. Now, CCS is a criminal conspiracy section of the Los Angeles Police Department that was linked to Hunt and Lydia McCord and Nixon and the Iranian Savak. And it's interesting, this one of the nation's largest electronic firms is called CCS. Again, that parallel of Oceanic Corporation in Washington, Oceanic in 1984. The CCS in New York, and their major client before the Shah was kicked out of Iran was the Shah of Iran. Their major client was Iran before the country's recent revolution. They were raided by police here because CCS is under investigation also in New York City as well as in Washington for shipping electronic surveillance equipment overseas. And the New York State Select Committee on Crime is linking the ties to the February Olympic Games, the Winter Games at Lake Placid in New York. CCS, the electric firm, has advertised widely as the electronic security supplier for Lake Placid, but the Olympic officials have disputed CCS's exact role. Remember, James McCord at Watergate was in charge of the security for the re-election of the president in 1972. And this firm that is under investigation for supplying electronic equipment around the world and formerly for the Shah of Iran is advertising that they are in charge of the Olympic security. A New York official said that 40 infrared sniper scopes were among equipment in their crates that was seized at John Kennedy Airport as far away as last March, but I don't remember reading a thing about it. And they were going to have the security for the Winter Games that would be breached. They were afraid that if they were at the Winter Olympics, the security would be breached by terrorist groups who might have gained access to their extensive group of bombs and bomb detections and eavesdropping and monitoring devices and those infrared sniper scopes. So the federal officials are investigating this, and they had a meeting. The Washington, D.C., raided their meeting of the CCS, that's the name of the electronic firm, in their Georgetown office on December the 9th, and they had a meeting. It was $350 a person, an electronic security seminar that was held where else? The Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. The CCS was having a seminar on electronic surveillance, but these people have been investigated by the grand jury, and again, it brings up the problem of possible violence at the Olympic Games and some more murdering, bombing, monitoring, eavesdropping, and killing. There's a lot of talk about whether the Olympic Games should go on or not because the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. I felt that the next Olympic Games would be a source of violence and killing identical to Munich and maybe try to blame the Soviet Russians, and we would be willing to go to war if our athletes were killed. I think it's a can of worms for spies, and it would be best left alone rather than to have another Reichstag kind of thing. So this electronic firm that was working sells their major clients or the Middle Eastern governments of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, and they spent more than $350,000 supplying equipment for the games that were to take place next February. So that a government agency or an agency that supplies these governments overseas and the Shah of Iran that makes bulletproof vests, metal detectors, and so forth for our airport security devices would be in terms a security force at the Olympic Games, but it also could be a place where their bombs and devices could go off and cause the wrong people to be blamed for the killings. Now, on the time that is remaining on this tape, I would like to run down a few items that were in the very limited newspaper articles on the New York arrest. A man named William H. French is president of the ADCO Airlines, his offices in Paris, and he wants to ship planes to Libya from Georgia. They've been stationed down in Georgia, and the sale hasn't gone through. And he employed Frank Turpel of the CIA when Turpel went to Europe in 1971. Now, those are the same airplanes that allegedly were involved in Robert Vesco trying to get for Libya, and that if Jimmy Carter offered him, you know, a payoff, the scandal that I have mentioned on other tapes or suggested was that if Carter offered him not to be extradited for prosecution, that he would work with the Libyan government and as an agent, registered as an agent for Libya. Billy Carter is trying to get those airplanes from Georgia delivered, and the company that would deliver them is William French, who hired Frank Turpel. So you see, the assassination weapons come from Georgia, from Mitchell Werbel with their silencers, and also William French is working with airplanes in Georgia that involve the president's brother. And I hope I'm not going too fast that you can see some of the can of worms. Frank Turpel was described as married. He has three children. He lives in McLean, Virginia. When he was arrested December 24th, his $250,000 home was put on the market for sale, I imagine because he will be leaving the company. Oceanic International is located at 2020 Connecticut Avenue, New York City, in case you want to do investigations on what kind of a firm it is and see if it is like McCord Associates, just a dummy front. The Hunter's Lodge that he bought in England, I think I mentioned before, was more than $500,000. The location of the lodge is in Crewe, C-R-E-W-E, Great Britain. A description of Turpel in the New York Times said that he had high-level contacts, and Scotland Yard said that among the group there were extensive contacts among high-ranking American and British military officials, and he had access to end-user certificates, which are official government documents for exporting arms from Great Britain. Well, they also described in another article in the New York Times the extensive contacts of British military with organized crime and the combination of the Central Intelligence Agency and organized crime. I received a book this week called The Train Robbers by Pierre Paul Reed, sent to me by one of the listeners of the tapes who follows history very, very closely. And in studying international terrorism or where the money goes, this book fit in right with the possible Turpel operations, and again, the coincidences become overwhelming. This book on the train robbers begins with an introduction and a story of Otto Skorzeny. He was Hitler's right-hand man who organized what is known as the ODESSA, O-D-E-S-S-A, the worldwide organization of former members of the SS, that these old Nazis could sustain themselves through crime and also, you see, through organized crime and narcotics. There's a large Nazi mafia that works, but Skorzeny was involved with this train robbery, this great train robbery, and in the introduction of the book, it brings up his organization. And the introduction says there was a Mr. Big behind the train robbery, behind the crime, a man who financed it and received in return £1 million of the stolen money. He was Otto Skorzeny, the officer of the Waffen-SS who commanded the German commandos during the war and had rescued Mussolini. Now, Skorzeny was operating with the men in the train robbery, and then when you read towards the back of the book, there's a description of the driver of the train, of the various people that got off. In the end, they have a chapter called Release, and it talks about February 1970, the driver of the train, Jack Mills, died in Crewe, England. Now, it wasn't until officially, in much later, 1978, that Frank Turpel bought the inn for $500,000 with the CIA and organized crime, and various escapees from assassinations and crimes were kept as a safe house. That was also in Crewe, England. So again, the question, if Turpel is linked to the international Nazis and ODESSA by way of Reverend Moon and their money funded from Southeast Asia and this network of ODESSA all over the world, if Turpel and Kirkala are linked to that, and if one of the safe houses is in Crewe, England, did they buy it or could they buy it with money, say, from the great train robbery? Much of it was never accounted for, and some of it went down to Brazil. But a lot of the crimes being committed are to fund rightist organizations, and then the funds use the money so that Turpel and these people could sell $10 million a year worth of weapons, because the weapons come from bank robberies where the robbers, such as the one in Nice, Italy, are allowed to escape because they're helping the rightist cause, and they're taking the justice, the police, and so forth, are allowing them to leave the police buildings so they can continue taking the money from safe deposits, banks, train robberies, and put it into weapons so that eventually they have this network in every country around the world. We got a little sample of what you call independence in the news this week, and to be specific, how the right-wing network with guns, machine guns, bombs, and devices will work when it comes to the push and shove. The President of the United States said we will not ship more wheat to the Soviet Union, but there was a $1.5 million purchase that was paid for that was going to be shipped, and he said complete that sale. And the longshoremen said, we are not sending that to the Soviet Union. The United States government can forfeit the $1.5 billion. The farmers can give it up. We will not load it. And on the Today Show, Tom Brocco said to the head of the union, or the longshoremen, isn't this chaos? If the president says one thing and you go against his wishes, aren't you inviting chaos in the United States? And the answer was, when the president was inaugurated, he said, I will need the help of the people. So we are going to help him. And that means no matter what presidential orders go out from this moment on, as of January the 11th, 1980, any group, the Minutemen, the Nazis, the states' rights parties, the secret army organizations, they are located every 20 miles across the United States and heavily, heavily armed with every kind of device and weapon they need and grenades. And if they want to go against the president's orders, they'll say, this is our interpretation of patriotism and we will not do what you tell us. And if the average person can't meet fire with fire, then they take over because they have stockpiled and sold and created ammunition with this money that has been going on for years, ever since World War II. And they will have control of the population through their various devices and the intent. If the intent is there, and if we want coexistence with the Soviet Union and they don't want it, the power has been moved away from the president to the hands of the people. If the Teamsters and the longshoremen don't load or don't deliver or don't bring food into a city or go on strike, that's it. And we're in a terrible position now because of the proliferation of arms to all kinds of idiots who have the power and the intent to go against the president's orders if they think it's best. And this was one example this week, and I think you should watch it closely because, as they said on the TV, this invites chaos, and it invites more than chaos. You get a total dictatorship in the hands of the far right, who now are armed through people like Kirkola and Turple and Mitch Werbel, who are sending these weapons out. They should all be called in. But you see, when men like that are arrested in New York City, three men were arrested, and the third man was an acknowledged member of an assassination team, and he was released and let loose. Evidently, murder isn't a crime when you're murdering for the government or for these people. So the third person was released, and when two were put on $100,000 bail, and he puts his house for sale in Washington, D.C., he doesn't intend to spend 25 years in jail or any time at all, and he will be out of the country maybe by the time you get these tapes. There certainly isn't a word about them in the news media. There's dead silence. The New York Times described Turple and Kirkola as freelance military specialists who harbor fugitives, sell illegal weapons, train terrorists and military activities, and run a series of front companies throughout the world. The New York Times also said January the 7th that the leader of this group is still at large, that he's the target of federal grand jury in Washington, D.C. The leader of the multi-billion-dollar arms sale is at large. Two men were taken in and released. One of the admitted assassins wasn't even held. The kinds of weapons they had: radar-controlled anti-aircraft missiles, as I said before, powerful explosive poisons, remote control bombs, weapons from Werbel in Georgia from British and American factories, mainly manufactured in Britain where laws regulating arms sales are more lenient. The customers of these men were Idi Amin in Uganda, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and the Libyan government. All of these groups are violently anti-Semitic, that were linked to the Grand Mufti and the hatred of Jews and the international Odessa, and it would be perfectly natural to arm them to the teeth with weapons, as well as being linked, say, to Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and Panama, but some of their best customers are Idi Amin, who has been violently anti-Semitic, the PLO, and Libya, and then they in turn can distribute them all over the world to other people if they want to. They also were caught with false certificates. As I said, they have what they call an end-user permission to ship weapons around the world and have access to the highest-ranking documents in British and American military offices. But one of the places that was raided showed that they have this end-user certificate to export 10,000 machine guns. It was listed for Philippines, that was the destination, but the New York Times article on the 7th said it was a false address. It was going somewhere else. On the crate, they put Philippines. But you see, the Soviet Union has said that we were arming Amin over in Afghanistan, not Idi Amin, the other Amin, in Afghanistan with napalm and weapons from the United States. So the 10,000 machine guns that were headed, in quotes, for the Philippines could go to Turkey and the Iranian forces, the anti-Khomeini forces, into Afghanistan, Pakistan, and so forth, for war against the Soviet Union if they decide to invade those countries, too. The guns could be used to fight each other or to protect themselves from the Soviet Union. Terpel and Kerkola allegedly met each other 3 years ago in 1976, and this Mr. French, who runs that airplane air freight company, came to Washington, D.C. and had an office with Terpel in his office, and then after he moved in, Terpel disappeared for 8 months in 1976. Of course, we don't know what countries he was in, and his wife didn't even know where he went. And Mr. French just stayed in the office of Washington, D.C., and Terpel was off with his weapons and violences. And as I say, there's no way of knowing what countries he was in yet. I mentioned last week that their car in New York City was listed to the United Nations under the Uganda mission, that they had a car that was protected by a United Nations license. They also had unlimited passports, and they bragged on tape cassettes that they had access to fraudulent American passports and that they could provide passports for fugitives from justice, and they could travel wherever they want all over the world. I don't think it would be hard for these guys to skip out with a $100,000 bail, considering the amount of expertise they have in the papers that could be written for them if they wanted to scram out of here. I mentioned last week my article on the SLA is the CIA because it's that kind of terrorism that began to be formed in 1968 after the Chicago conventions when the youth were assembling in the anti-war protests. And there were international connections that I made note of in that article, the SLA is the CIA, and asked about these various people that were over in Europe prior to when the SLA was formed, and wondering who they saw at that time and what they were doing there. Willie Wolfe was in Europe for 9 months before he moved to California and joined the SLA. Angela Atwood was in Europe. She had a trip to Europe before she came west. Her father, incidentally, was an official in the area, in the Teamsters Union, and Angela Atwood was buried in New Jersey. And again, I wonder if there's any connection to the electronics firm or the espionage coming out of New Jersey. Wes Davis of the SLA was part of World Humanity Against Totalitarianism. That was a group set up. They set up the speeches of Reverend Moon, who defended Richard Nixon. And Moon, of course, was part of General Park's South Korean intelligence. Camilla Hall had traveled in Spain, and I asked in that article, 1974, what other countries did she go to? And Colson Westbrook was over in Europe. There were a whole group of the SLA people who were in Europe just prior to they moved to California and then joined the ranks of the SLA out here in California to infiltrate the various organizations. I listed the organizations and the chronology, and I may, just to review with you next week, do a little more on the SLA as the CIA and the international terrorism. In the meantime, in any of the newspapers where you are, if you find any articles on these characters that were arrested and international terrorism, save them and copy them and send them to me because it's terribly important. I don't know why people have sat quiet so long, but it's time to say that the airplane hijackings, the kidnappings, bombings, assassination attempts, accomplished murders, Much of this that is being written off as terrorism must be identified to American agencies, American money, our wheeling and dealing, even linked right up to the White House. It should be exposed, and at any point you want to scream and shout about it, it's the point to start objecting to this subterfuge that's getting us into bloodshed in every country. Read the newspapers. It's spreading all over the world. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel. You take care. Until next week, stay away from the terrorists, and I'll be with you next week.